This morning, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, just verses 1 and 2. So let me read that, and then we will pray again and dive in together. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your grace. By your grace, we have been saved from our sin. And by your grace, we've been brought into a people. So it is a gift to be with your church this morning. Father, I pray for First Baptist Church of Lowry, it's just down the road, as they gather this morning. I know, Lord, their hearts are heavy after the passing last night of one of their church members. Would you comfort them? Would you use their service as a time to remind them of the truth and to fill their hearts with your comfort and your love? Would your word go forth and bear fruit? I pray for Pastor David as he preaches. Give him the words to say. Give him strength to say it. I pray that you would empower him by your Spirit to speak only what you would have him to speak, and then you would do the work you want to do with it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to foster our relationship with that church, that we might be for your kingdom. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity today to just spend more time together in a meal, but then to serve together. Lord, we pray that you would bless our efforts, that we would recognize these boxes filled with toys is not merely gifts filled with toys. Help us to realize the gospel opportunities. I pray that you would use each interaction that we may never know about to bring people to faith, to strengthen local churches, to glorify your name all across the world. And Lord, would our efforts today be a small part of your work to establish your kingdom. And Lord, now as we look at your word, you are the God who spoke the world into existence, and in your grace, you have spoken to us in your word. Help us to truly receive this word as your words to us. We pray that your Spirit would help us to understand, to apply it to our lives, that you would change our affections, that we would love you more, that we would see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ as we hear your word. And Lord, would it affect the way we live, that we would please you more each day. But we need you. We desperately need you to do that work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are beginning a new series that will take us, Lord willing, to the end of the year, if the Lord tarries. We will consider Colossians chapter 1, at least a big portion of chapter 1. So just to give you an idea of where we're headed, in the first 3 weeks or so, we're going to look at Paul's introduction and then his prayers for this church. We're going to consider how we ought to be thankful for our church, how we ought to pray for our church. And then as we approach Christmas, we're going to slow down and really consider who Jesus is, why he is above all others. As Paul beautifully writes in a kind of melodic style about Jesus in verses 15 through 23. That's where we're headed. This small book of the Bible is a letter written by Paul to a small, seemingly insignificant church in a rather insignificant city called Colossae. Paul is in prison. And he's been given news about this church from a man named Epaphras, and so he writes this letter to respond to that news. And so the occasion for the letter, the reason for the letter, is because Paul has heard the Colossians are being told from false teachers to look beyond Christ to try to grow into maturity. They're being told that they're missing out on more that they can take hold of in their spiritual walk. Things like avoiding any kind of pleasures at all costs, and things like going back to the Jewish rituals or doing things to even appease angels. These false teachers are saying to this church, if you want to be truly satisfied, if you want to really grow, if you want to find assurance and peace, you need more. Well, Paul writes this letter to remind them that they have all that they need in Jesus. Christ is sufficient to save. He is sufficient to mature them, and Christ is a sufficient hope for heaven. And so he'll say, just as you received him, walk in him. And this letter reminds us today, Christians in the 21st century, that hope and growth, assurance, peace and rest is not found in worldly wisdom or worldly strategies. It's not found even in the right habits or the right rituals. It's found in Christ. And if we have received him, we ought to continue to walk in him. Now, it's hard to tell in this letter if there's just one group of false teachers or multiple groups kind of clamoring for the Colossians' attention. It may be, maybe the most likely, is there's one group, but they just have a lot to say. Either way, with all of this noise about other ways to grow and to find assurance, what they need most is God's voice to puncture all of that news and remind them of their all-sufficient Savior. Well, today in verses 1 and 2, Paul begins the letter by reminding them where they need to tune their ears to hear God's word about Christ and all that they have and all that they need in him. Christina says, my ears don't work well. She might be right. Sometimes I really do have a hard time hearing other people, especially if there's noise around me. But at other times, I think what she means is my hearing is somewhat selective, right? Sometimes I'm distracted by a bunch of noise, and I can't focus on what she or someone else is saying right to me. So if we go eat at a restaurant, it drives Christina crazy because she's talking to me and I'm looking at her, but my ear is listening to that table behind her. At other times, I'm so focused on the one thing I'm listening to, you know, my phone or whatever else it is, that I can't hear when others, like our kids, are yelling my name and trying to get my attention. What Christina wants me to do, and she's right, is tune my ear to the right priorities. Well, Paul begins his letter by providing the correct frequency. He wants the Colossians and us to tune our ear to the right voice, God's voice. And we need that desperately today, friends. We live in an age where everyone has a voice through social media. There's 2 million opinions thrown at us all at once with quick fixes and life hacks, right? Everything we need to make our life exactly like it needs to be, to feel rest and feel peace and feel assurance. And then everyone around us can quickly get their opinions from others on the internet. And what we need is to tune our ear to the right frequency, to be able to listen through all of that noise and hear God's voice. And that is found in God's word as it leads us to the all-sufficient Jesus Christ. So let's look at Paul's introduction. Look at verse 1 with me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Colossians is a letter written by Paul. So who is this guy? I'm sure you're familiar. Paul was a Jew. He was proud of his heritage. He rose the ranks as a member of the highest religious order, the Pharisees. So Paul was zealous to serve the God he thought he knew. In fact, he was so zealous for his religion that when people began to claim that this Jesus of Nazareth was the Jewish Messiah, and they started to gather together not in the synagogues but on Sundays, Paul sought to put an end to that. And so he traveled from town to town persecuting the church, arresting and prosecuting its members. But when that Jesus met this Paul on the road to Damascus, his life was changed forever. God opened Paul's eyes by blinding his physical sight, and he saved him from his sin. Paul repented and trusted in the gospel of God's Son, Jesus. That's the Paul who wrote this letter to the Colossians. And we've mentioned already, he's writing, we assume, as a prisoner in Rome. And with him, perhaps attending to his needs and then maybe traveling with these letters to these various places on Paul's behalf is his young disciple, Timothy, whom he calls in verse 1, Timothy, our brother. But we might ask this question. Other than having a great testimony, what gives Paul the authority to write a letter like this? If you were to read through the letter, you're going to realize Paul's not just pen pals with these people. He's not just updating them on his life and asking how they are and kind of exchanging family photos. He's giving commands. He will tell them how they ought to live as Christians. He will give instructions for fathers and wives and husbands, for masters and slaves. He's going to tell them, you need to take this letter, and once you've read it, you need to pass it on to the church in Laodicea. And he's writing all of these things to a church he did not plant, and he has never visited. Why does Paul get to do that? Well, Paul tells us. Paul, in verse 1, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The apostles were men commissioned by Jesus to speak about Jesus and on his behalf. They were men filled with the Holy Spirit to remember and to write the words of Jesus that he had taught them, and they were eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus. So Luke chapter 6, verse 12 is when Jesus gathers his disciples and appoints these 12 apostles. It says, in these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. And when day came, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus chose 12 out of all of his disciples to carry a specific task. They were to be official ambassadors of Jesus, and they were to lay the foundation of the church through their testimony. And their testimony was about the perfect life of Jesus, and then his sacrificial death for sinners, and then his resurrection from the dead. And those apostles would proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins and faith alone in Christ Jesus to be saved. And so friends, from their testimony, we have our New Testament. 2,000 years later, on the other side of the world, you and I, believers, are Christians because Jesus commissioned the apostles to carry his gospel, to proclaim it, and to write it down. We still have a question. What about Paul? You might have noticed he was not in the list of those 12 men in the Gospel of Luke. So again, why can he claim to speak to the Colossians on behalf of Jesus? Well, Paul calls himself an apostle that was untimely born. He was born late. In Acts chapter 9, when the resurrected Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever, saved him from his sin, he also commissioned Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, when the Lord spoke to Ananias about Paul, he says this, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So Paul became an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord, although in a different way. It was on the road to Damascus. And then he was sent by Jesus as his ambassador, particularly to the Gentiles, and he was empowered by the Spirit to preach and write the words of God. Paul is an apostle. Well, here's what this means. This letter is not just a letter from a guy named Paul to some people in Colossae. This is the words of an authorized ambassador of Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the words of God about Christ to the world. If you're taking notes, number one, God speaks to us about Christ through his ambassadors. God speaks to us about Christ through his ambassadors, which means, church, for the Colossians and for us, these are God's words. This is God speaking his message through Paul to the Colossians and then to us. Now you might notice Paul says, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That is, this testimony, first proclaimed and then written down for us, this is God's will. It's his plan to save and build his church. It's through his message. Church, if we are going to fix our eyes on Christ, we have to tune our ears to the word of God. It's here that we hear of Jesus, that we're taught who he is, how he came, what he did, how he lived and died and rose from the dead, how he ascended to the right hand of the Father, how he's saved us from our sin. It's here we learn of his character and his ministry. It's by God's word we're reminded of his supremacy over all things and all people. It's by his word we see his sufficiency for every aspect of our lives. In this book, we have God's testimony about our Lord through those who saw him after he was raised from the dead. So the word is the one frequency where we are told the truth of what really matters and of where salvation can be found and how we can continue to grow in our Christian life and where we hear the hope of heaven, where we're comforted in our sorrow and in our suffering and in our difficulties. Because this word leads us to Jesus, where all of that is found. So then, if this is the testimony, this is God's words about Christ to us, how do we tune our ears to that word? Well, look in verse 2. Paul describes who he's writing to. He says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Number two, if you're taking notes, we listen as people belonging to God and brothers to each other. We listen as people belonging to God and brothers to each other. Paul says he's an apostle writing about Christ, God's words, to the saints, he says. In the New Testament, the word saints refers to not a class of Christians, but to all Christians. Because the word saints means holy ones or set apart ones. Christians are set apart for God. They're his chosen people for his purposes. This idea stems all the way back to Exodus chapter 19, where God says to his people, "You will be my treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Brothers and sisters, by Christ's death for us on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, he's redeemed us from sin and purchased us for God. If you are a Christian this morning, you are not your own, but belong to God, body and soul. We are his treasured possession. So as we tune our ears to the word of God about Jesus, we listen as his children, forgiven of our sin, purchased for God. Now, friend, if you are here and you have never trusted in Christ to be saved from your sin, this word, you need the Spirit to open your ears. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. As you look at this word, you will see things foreign to you, but you will see your sin and the Savior. Turn your life to him. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if we belong to God, if God is our Father, well, the first thing it means is we ought to listen to him. Children are called to listen to their father. We are to God. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our Father in heaven, and he has spoken to us. But secondly, if we are saints, if we belong to God by the blood of Jesus, we ought to realize his word is the best thing for us. God is a Father who loves us. He never speaks lies. He never makes a mistake. He gives us exactly what we need, and he tells us all that we need. It's sufficient to give us everything for life and for godliness. So let me just ask ourselves this morning, do we recognize our need for God's word daily, every day? With all of these competing voices vying for our attention and our submission and our belief, are we daily tuning our ear to God's voice? David sang in Psalm 119, verse 92, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." And then verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Brothers and sisters, this word is life-giving for God's children because it leads us to the life-giving Savior day in and day out. We must tune our ears to hear. A hard lesson I am learning is that the moment I think I'm too busy to be in the Word of God is the moment I've tuned out God's voice. And I've tuned in to whatever wisdom is coming at me from the world. I'm trying in that moment to find nourishment and rest and strength from the things maybe I do or from the satisfaction and promises that the world can offer me. But the best thing for the saints is to feast on the bread of life from the Word of God. We must tune our ears to God's word. But it's not just our ears, my ears. It's our collective ears. Look again at verse 2. He writes, "To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." We listen as brothers and sisters in Christ. Church, if God has set us apart in Christ for himself, If we've been taken out of the world and brought into his family, then that means we have spiritual siblings. If we are united to Christ by the Holy Spirit, and the person next to us is united to Christ by the same Holy Spirit, then we are united to each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that is true of every believer from all time. We have brothers and sisters in Christ across the world that we have never met and will never meet until heaven. But it is particularly relevant for our brothers and sisters within the local church. For your brothers and sisters in Stony Fork. That's why Paul says he's writing to the saints and faithful brothers at Colossae. These are the brothers and sisters who live together in this city, who are in this church together. Friends, the Colossians are meant to hear this word together as a family. They are meant to then obey this word together as a family. They're meant to encourage each other with these words together as a family. Paul says later in this letter in chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Church, that is why we gather every week to hear the word of God read, preached, sung, and prayed. So that God's word among us as a church family would dwell richly between us. Because God is not just speaking to you, to me. He's speaking to us as a church. You know, in football, on defense, there's something called a coverage bust. Right, that's where a defensive player basically goes the wrong way and lets the offensive player just run free up the field to catch the ball and score. And it can happen all kinds of different ways, but one of the ways this can happen is when the defense gets the play call from the coach on the sideline. Right. Then usually one player tells that play call to the whole defense. Well, if one of them doesn't hear the play call correctly, and the play happens, and everybody goes one way, and he goes the wrong way, it results in a touchdown for the other team. Friends, we live in a very individualistic society. So we think my religion is between me and my God. Now, yes, we are not saved by the faith of others. We must know God ourselves. But brothers and sisters, the Bible has no category for living out that faith alone. In fact, we cannot obey God's commands from Colossians without a local church. We cannot bear with one another if we're not with one another. We cannot forgive one another if we're not close enough to sin against each other. We cannot care for one another and love one another if we're not living this out together. If we are going to tune our ears to God's voice so that we never forget Jesus and we never look past Jesus, we must tune our ears to God's word with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what happens when the church tunes her ears to the word of God? We'll look again at the second half of verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Number 3, if you're taking notes. As we listen, God gives us what we need to live the Christian life and rest in our Savior. As we listen, God gives us what we need to live the Christian life and rest in our Savior. When I worked at Chick-fil-A, I worked the drive-thru for like a week. For every car, right, I had to say, thank you for choosing Chick-fil-A. My name is Mark. How may I serve you? Now, those words have meaning, right? And they're said for a reason. But by the 10th car, they kind of lose all their meaning. Thank you for choosing Chick-fil-A. My name is Mark. How may I serve you? Well, these words, this greeting of Paul, grace to you and peace, is not like that. He's not just kind of saying, well, good evening, nice to speak with you, right? These words have real meaning for the Colossians and for us. Grace is God's unmerited favor to us. God gives us what we do not deserve. Right? That's the nature of the gospel we believe, church. That we in our sin deserved God's judgment in hell. But God in his grace sent his son Jesus to live that truly righteous life, to die a death in our place and to rise from the dead. And when we turn from sin and turn to Christ, we are freely forgiven. We are given Christ's righteousness. We're given a new heart. We're given eternal life, all of which we do not deserve. That's grace. But we're not given grace for the beginning of our Christian life, only to somehow figure it out in our own strength as we go. No, God gives us grace along the way. Grace is also a power to do what God has called us to do. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Why does God give us grace? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul seems to think that God is going to use the words of this letter as a gift of God's grace to equip these Colossians to live the Christian life. So friends, we tune our ears to God's word, and as we hear it and as it lives among us, and as we're in it each day, God gives us what we need and exactly what we need to live out what he's called us to live out, to continue our walk of faith in Christ. These words are not just instructions to get the job done. God's word is also the means by which God gives us peace. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Christians, in the gospel, our strife with God is over. Through Christ, we have an objective peace with God. We are no longer called his enemies. But living in this fallen world means we do not always feel that peace. We are often anxious. Our thoughts can run wild. The wisdom of the world is shouting at us, the right way to think and believe and to live. God, by his word about Jesus, gives us peace. He speaks to us the words that we need. It was crazy last night. I had a wild dream. I'm not even going to tell you how crazy this dream was. But I'm serious. As a 32-year-old adult, it legitimately scared me. And I woke up in the middle of the night from that dream, and I was very confused. And I don't usually do this, but I woke Christina up and I said, Christina, I had a horrible dream. And she was like, it's okay, we're at home. Right? Well, I went back to sleep. That's silly, right? It was the words I needed. How much greater are God's words of peace to us when we need them? And that's what God gives us in his word. And for what purpose? Paul says in Philippians 4, God gives us peace that surpasses understanding to guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. That is, by his word, God helps us to stay away from bad or wrong thoughts about Jesus. If you feel restless, friends, tune your ear to God's word so that you might rest in your Savior. And God will speak exactly what you need to hear. And he will remind you, his righteousness covers you. You are no longer an enemy of God through Christ. He will remind you that God's love overflows to you in Jesus. He will remind you that Jesus is sufficient for all of your needs. Church, may we know that truth every day by tuning our ears to God's word about his Son, our leader and our Savior. Let's pray together. Father, would you, by your Spirit, tune our ears to your word that we may see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ? Would you give us a taste of how sweet the testimony of Jesus is, that we would long for it every day? Would you remind us to go to your word in the midst of all the wisdom, the voices clamoring for our attention? Would you remind us to listen to your word above all else? And Lord, we ask you would give us that grace to live the Christian life and peace to know we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.